So Colorado this year, better or worse than last year?
I think in general, this team has way more depth. I think Caden Salter will be very serviceable at quarterback. You know, losing Travis Hunter, I think the wide receivers are going to be just fine. Coach Prime said it himself, this is a better team than last year.
What is up, everybody? Thank you for joining us on Crane & Company today, making it a daily watch or listen or both. Remember, without you, there is no us. The preview train, well, it's rolling on.
Choo-choo.
We're talking about those Buffaloes over there in Boulder. Talking about Colorado, Coach Prime in the group after losing Travis Hunter, losing Shedeur Sanders. Can they keep the momentum going? And why not bring on Jake Pauley from the Folsom Frenzy Pod? What's up, Jake?
What's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
Jake Pauley.
Thanks for having me on, guys. You got to give some background of why I'm on.
Well, we started talking, it's funny, on social media last year before the season, me and you guys did going back and forth a little bit talking about Colorado, and they were very confident. And I said, if Colorado won a certain amount of games, we'd get you on to talk a little bit of Colorado at some point. And Jake, you were 100% correct. You guys do a really good job of covering Colorado in general. But man, where I want to start, obviously the news with Deion Sanders and the bladder removal, and you know, him being cancer-free now, which we're really, really excited about. Were Colorado fans ever nervous that he was actually going to step down when there were some reports that ended up being false? And how much do you think that's going to deter him when it comes to on-the-field coaching and just going through the grind that we all know is coaching at this level of college football?
Yeah, I think some CU fans were nervous, some that weren't in the know, but most of the fans that follow the program closely weren't nervous at all. He posted a video right before the press conference talking about his will. It was pretty cryptic, but his son came out and said that he's doing well and seemed like he fully recovered from that video. And then looking at your second question, I think it's not going to impact him whatsoever. You might see a porta potty out on the field, but he got a question in his press conference asking if his assistant coaches will support him a little bit more. And he said, heck no, I'm back, baby. It's my show.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be fully back, and I'm excited to have Coach Prime back, and I'm glad he was able to recover from this because it was very serious. And even outside of football, it's good to see he's doing great.
Well, look, I think I'm so happy for Deion. He's cancer free. The surgery went well. I'm so glad he's going to be on the sidelines this year. And I know Prime, everything he does is in big lights. It's always showtime.
But was a press conference necessary?
Yeah, 100%. Because people are going to watch this press conference and haven't been to their yearly physical. And they're going to say, like, if Coach Prime got cancer, I could get cancer. The wives are going to be watching that press conference and say, hey, you need to go get checked out. And I think it was totally necessary. If one person gets diagnosed with cancer because of that press conference, because they went in, totally worth it.
So every single coach should just come out this year and have
Bruce Pearl,
hey, go get checked.
Bruce Pearl does the outlive stuff
for
at
sure.
AU
for
sure. To raise awareness with it. I thought kind of on another hand, you know, that having a press conference as opposed to a statement when you can actually see somebody walk in and talk and operate, any negative recruiting, which does happen, I mean, we've seen it happen against Auburn and Hugh Freeze, it kind of gets a little bit toned down because you're watching that individual talk and they're obviously okay, as opposed to putting out a letter where some people say, well, there's a reason, you know, he didn't come out and talk and this, that, or the other. So there's some ways I can see it to make sense. But to Blaine's point, and I mean, Cone, Prime does everything, you know, in right in your face, in the big lights, and that's kind of how he's gotten Colorado to where we're actually having a preview of Colorado. 3 years ago, there's no way in hell we'd be having a Colorado football preview.
Yeah, Colorado only had 2 winning seasons since 2005.
Yeah, it wasn't a great situation. But from a roster standpoint, Jake, when you look and everybody's going to talk about Travis Hunter's gone now and Shedeur's gone, oh no, with Colorado. But I actually look along the line of scrimmage, and that's been the biggest jump that Colorado's had to make. I think you guys are going to be even better than last year. I mean, look, Jordan Seaton's coming back. I think on the defensive line, y'all actually outperformed what I thought y'all were going to do last year. Do you guys feel the same? Is the line of scrimmage at Colorado continuing to elevate to give them a chance to let some of those other skill players get after it?
You know what, Jake, I'm going to knock on wood here, but I think the lines are going to be the strength of the CU football team.
Wow.
I think this offensive line could be top five in the Big 12. They have led by Jordan Seaton on the left side of the line there. And then they also got the kid from Memphis, Xavier Hill, stud right tackle. I think he was second team all conference last year from Memphis. They've also loaded up on the interior offensive line. And this year, unlike the last 2 years, they have depth on the line as well. And then the defensive line is arguably going to be the best position group for the Buffs this year. They led the Big 12 in sacks last year, and they've only lost, I believe, two out of the leading sack, the guys that got the most sacks on the team. So really excited about that defensive line. The biggest transfer they got, Jaheim Otis from Alabama, he'll be really important on the interior defensive line.
Yeah, he's also humongous, Coney.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild to hear that the offensive line may be one of the best units for Colorado, because we've been talking about that for a few years now. How long is it going to take Colorado to sort of get up to speed on the line of scrimmage? I will say, 4 out of the 5 starters on the offensive line, those incoming transfers that you're talking about, the offensive line traditionally isn't a unit where you want a lot of transfers all coming in at the same time, because that unit has to be so cohesive. Mm-hmm. But hey, that's what August is for, baby. That's what fall camp is for. So let's see. What stood out to me most watching Colorado in 24 and at times in 23 is that despite some of the deficiencies on the offensive and the defensive line, they found themselves in close games. And anytime they were in a close game, they would win those games because of the gamer nature of Shedeur Sanders and of Travis Hunter. Now, with those guys gone, I mean, are they just going to be able to beat people more at the line of scrimmage now? I mean, what are your expectations for Colorado, not just in the Big 12, but nationally in the first year without Deion Sanders' son and a Heisman Trophy winner?
I think they're going to be competitive. Especially up front, and you know, even losing Travis Hunter, that key playmaker, I think they've reloaded at wide receiver. They have really talented receivers, led by Omarion Miller. He had a huge game against USC back in 2023, where he had over 250 yards. Draylon Miller had the most receiving yards last year. That's returning, out of the returners, I should say. Sorry, but he's gonna be our slot receiver, as well as they got some good guys in the portal, a couple 4-star wide receivers. So I think at least playmaking. On the wide receiver side of things, they'll be great. Running back is kind of my biggest question mark. And I think the national media is not talking about it enough, is can this CU football team run the football? Not only with their running backs, but also their quarterbacks with Caden Salter.
Stop living like a myth. You're not a minotaur. It's time to start shaving like a legend with Jeremy's razors. They're politically incorrect razors for men. They're equipped with 5 barber-grade blades and a moisturizing aloe strip. Now, Jeremy's razors are sharp enough for a thick, beastly scrub, yet smooth enough for daily use. Look at my face. Hundreds of thousands of abominable beasts agree. Jeremy's Razors delivers barber-grade blades right in the palm of your hand. And while other razors snap or treat you like crap or don't know the difference between a man and a woman, Jeremy's offers a world-class shave without the shame. Just be yourself. Try Jeremy's Razors today for only $7.99. They ship right to your man cave or she shed. And for every Jeremy's Razor sold, a liberal loses a pronoun. It's good for all of us. So if you're a man who pees standing up, like George Washington said you should, then head over to jeremysrazors.com/legend and subscribe today. That's jeremysrazors.com/legend. Jeremy's Razors, don't tame the beast, just shave it.
Yeah, well, that gets me into talking about the quarterbacks. I mean, Caden Salter transfers in from Liberty, but then you have Julian Lewis coming in as a true freshman from Carrollton, Georgia. And look, my offensive line coach in high school, his son was blocking for Julian Lewis at Carrollton High. Everyone has high expectations, so much so that Deion took him to media days, right? Took both quarterbacks to media days. There's no way that Caden Salter isn't the starter week one, though, right?
I think so. I agree. A lot of folks think they might split time. I mean, Juju's kind of that traditional pocket passer, similar to Shedeur. Caden's more that option quarterback, can roll out, make a play. One thing that does worry me a bit is during Big 12 media days, Caden was asked how the CU offense is compared to Liberty. He said, oh, it's completely different. It's a pro-style offense, drop back in the pocket and make a pass. Whereas Liberty, you know, it's more option, which kind of lends itself more to Caden's play style. So I'm really hoping CU can capitalize on his running ability. But Juju Lewis, I'm really excited for. I don't know how much he'll play this year. I think he'll get some time in garbage time. I don't know if they'll split time personally. They could. I wouldn't be surprised. Juju's a really talented quarterback, and I think he's going to be an absolute star in the league 2 years from now.
The more I hear about Juju Lewis, the more I just hear star power.
Well,
star power.
It fits the style.
What Colorado does and fits exactly what Colorado is. And if it's me, and if it's close between Juju Lewis and Caden Salter, I'm throwing Juju out there so he can go and get that experience.
And true. And Caden, you know, is kind of more of an improviser. Now, we got to see Juju actually on the field in college. A lot of people improvise in high school because most of the time they're the best athlete on the field playing that position. But, you know, it's a good point you bring up, Jake. I wonder if you know, fitting a square peg in a round hole isn't the way that Colorado is going to go. Maybe they're saying the offense is going to be similar with Caden than it was last year, but you got to play to your personnel strengths. And I don't think Caden Salter, you know, taking a three-step drop, five-step drop, working the reads and just throwing the ball away is the way to go. Do you think we may see a little bit of a different flavor offensively to fit his style and maybe take a little pressure off that offensive line? Because again, you know, some guys just aren't built for certain style of offenses, but you can always change a couple things here or there, add a couple wrinkles here or there to fit the player.
It's a good question. To be honest, my gut is telling me it's going to be similar to their offense last year, which I hope they don't run it similar to last year. It's all up to Pat Shurmur and how he can make adjustments on the fly. And being a Broncos fan, I'm a little scarred by Pat Shurmur. So we'll
yeah, that's kind of an interesting anomaly.
It's always easier to incorporate those packages that you're talking about when your younger guy or your secondary guy is the guy who can be a ball carrier. So if Arch Manning can come in packages of a pocket passer like Quinn Ewers, or Tim Tebow can do that as a freshman for a pocket passer like Chris Leak, it's tougher when the older guy who has all these starts in college, Caden Salter at Liberty, is your guy who is running your zone schemes, and the pocket passer would be the younger guy. It's kind of like you got to go with one or the other.
Really. Yeah, and I think, again, to Jake's point, that's why the run game is so important to keep that maybe that surprise element if they don't adjust the offense to Caden Salter to be balanced and give him a chance and have time in the pocket. We know his escapability. I mean, he's not a big guy, but he's slippery as hell. I mean, Caden can get around and find ways to get the ball out. That's what's going to be the most interesting part to me. How balanced can this offense be? How much will this offense be predicated on getting the ball out quick and underneath routes and now screens to maybe take some pressure off Caden having to drop back and try and turn into Tom Brady on somebody when that's not his style of game?
All right, let's go ahead and get into the schedule. Right now, they will play Georgia Tech, and that game is slanted -4.5 for Georgia Tech versus Colorado. I believe that game's at home, if I'm mistaken. Let me just double check.
It's in Boulder.
That game is in Boulder. Then you have Delaware at home. Shout out Delaware. That'll be the ass kicking of a lifetime. Then at Houston, Wyoming at home, BYU at home, at TCU, Iowa State at home, at Utah, Arizona at home, at West Virginia, Arizona State at home, and you finish the year versus Kansas State on the road. And right now, the total wins for Colorado is sitting at 5.5, and that's going off at -118.
How do you grade that schedule, Jake?
It's tough. It's tough, especially for the Big 12. I'm glad they're not playing Texas Tech, or maybe I should want to play the Texas Tech, right? Go up against the best. But it's tough to have Kansas State on the road and then Utah on the road as well. I think Utah will bounce back this year.
Yeah, I like that.
And then to start out with Georgia Tech, it's going to be an exciting game, and it's going to be a big challenge. I think Georgia Tech's a good team with their blanking on the quarterback's name.
Haynes King.
Yeah. I think that'll be a good challenge for CU. I think it's a tough schedule, but every game I see on the schedule is a toss-up. I think CU could win any of these games.
Well,
you and Delaware. I mean, Colorado and Delaware, it's going to be a toss-up.
Well, it's year. You know, shout out to Blue Hens.
But like the thing about playing Georgia Tech, like if you're Colorado, I love this. I love this. Because Georgia Tech is going to test one thing and one thing only, your will. They're going to do 4 quarters of running downhill. Where is Haynes King? We'll throw it 4 times, and when we throw it, it's 6 yards route to the flats. And good for Colorado, because that was their knock last year.
Yeah.
Right? How much will they fight in the box? And I'm telling you, a Brent Key coach team with Haynes King quarterback, it's going to be an absolute slugfest. For 4 out.
No, it's a great quarter. Opener. But, I mean, if you do look, you go to Utah, you go to Kansas State, you have to play Arizona State and Sam Levitt. Yeah, you're ducking Texas Tech at WVU, which we'll see. Obviously, we know the changes there with your former head man and Rich Rodriguez going back to the Mountaineers. But, again, that's why it's at 5.5. We'll see what Utah can do with Dampier. I just, again, looking at this Colorado team and the expectation, Jake, obviously the fans, it's been overwhelming the amount of exposure that Colorado's gotten. And Blaine brought up the 2 wins earlier and how they've kind of flipped the script and changed the narrative. Let's say Colorado were to go 4-8 or something this year. How down would the fans be? Or do they understand, hey, we know what we lost. We're continuing to build this thing. Where is kind of the temperature at for the fan base of Colorado right now?
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
I think the fans would definitely be disappointed with 4-8 because our expectations are way higher than that, way higher than the spread. But at the same time, this fan base really trusts Coach Prime and what he's built at CU. I mean, look at the coaching staff he brought in. We didn't even mention that with Marshall Faulk coming in. He's Warren Sapp, Petco, the interior defensive line. It's incredible. So I think the fan base really trusts Coach Prime, and we would definitely be down if we won four games, but I just don't see any chance CU just wins four games.
But, I mean, is there anything that – is there any amount of losses that Colorado can endure that makes the fan base turn on Deion Sanders? Because even if he goes 1-11, he's going to say, well, y'all were doing that before I got here. At least we're selling a bunch of jerseys, and there's a lot of excitement now.
Yeah. I mean, let's take this all into perspective. Do you guys – CU was so bad before Coach Prime got there. Mm-hmm. We haven't won a bowl game since 2004. If you read off
that's
our wins
wild.
Before Coach Prime, let me do it really quick, right before him. One win, four wins, four wins, five wins, five wins, five wins, and then a blip in 2016, 10 wins. We were so bad. We were a bottom feeder program. Coach Prime comes in year two. He had a Heisman winner and was competing to potentially get into a Big 12 championship game in the last game of the season. I don't think, you know, a one-win season, CU fans are going to turn on Coach Prime. There's no chance.
Well, it's a good point. I mean, again, it's been – and look, Coach Prime's kind of in that category. You either love him or you hate him. There ain't a lot in between. But I forgot – I think it was Pete Weber, the famous bowler, that said, love me or hate me, at least you watched. And Colorado right now is sexier than they've ever been in the grand scheme of things. And I think it's great for college football. That's another reason why I'm excited. Obviously, outside of the obvious, just Coach Prime is okay because he is a huge storyline, a major storyline for college football, and has totally resurrected this Colorado program, like you mentioned. And if you're a lover of the game like we are, you may be from one region or the other. I want all of college football to be fantastic. I want everybody to be fired up for college football. And that's where, you know, Coach Prime has gotten. He goes, do you have a prediction on how many wins this year, Jake? I feel like you already got a number in your mind, or are you holding out a little bit longer?
Yeah, I mean, I had to pick one before bouncing on here. I'm right around 8 wins.
Okay. That'd be huge.
Yeah, a lot of the CU fan base is up at near 9 or 10. But I think realistically 8 wins is where I see this team. Coach Prime said it himself. This is a better team than last year. He has said that multiple times.
And so you can be. I mean, we talked about this in certain instances where, you may have lost your star
it's like
player
Miami.
Or a couple. It's like Miami. It's like Miami. LSU. A little bit too, you know, when you look at losing Jaden Daniels, but maybe the balance of the team from offense to defense together, because it's the ultimate team.
That's the same question with the Miami guys. So Colorado this year, better or worse than last year?
Just overall?
Yep. Roster-wise?
Roster-wise, they're slightly better, in my opinion. They have more depth. I think Caden Salter will be very serviceable at quarterback. You know, losing Travis Hunter, I think the wide receivers are going to be just fine. Even the cornerbacks, DJ McKinney, he's going to be a potential top two draft pick. Top two round draft pick.
I know what you meant.
So I think we're going to be fine in the secondary too. Our biggest holes is going to be linebacker. But I think in general, this team has way more depth.
Well, I'm excited to see it. Starting off with Georgia Tech, that's going to be a hell of an opener. Who they've got some high expectations over there, too, now. So you've got two programs that have kind of been resurrected.
I'm interested to see the receivers because a lot of people say Travis Hunter.
Horn was a dog,
I'm telling
too.
You, Jimmy Horn
was
an absolute problem last year. You can line him up at slot. You can put him outside. Hell, he'll probably go out there and sell something to you from the concession stand. So I'm interested to see how the receivers are.
A large part of him being a problem was Travis.
Yeah, for sure. It always helps.
Great ball player, though.
Great ball player, for sure.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you have to like triple team Travis.
For sure. When you
someone
got one
else
guy.
Is open, yeah. Buddy. Sure.
But no, Jake, thanks so much for joining us, man. It's going to be so interesting to see what Colorado is able to do this year. Kind of a new era off of a new era. But tell everybody where they can find you guys work over there. You guys are covering Colorado like a fat kid at a buffet.
Thanks. Yeah, you can find us on X at Folsom Frenzy Podcast. Also Instagram, YouTube, anywhere you get podcasts, just search Folsom Frenzy Podcast.
Well, you guys have been all in from the beginning. I got to give you credit there.
Look, I picked Colorado to do the good last year. So I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Because I know two guys that did it.
No, he did. No, Blaine did.
Look. We can roll the tapes, brother.
No, listen, I'll tell you. But here's the beautiful part. Since I picked SMU to make the playoff and they did, there's not a prediction.
Oh, here we go. In the show.
No. Listen, every time I'll bring it up. I'll bring it up to the end of eternity. But really appreciate it. Probably going to talk to you again down the road as well.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right. Make sure you subscribe. Let's see how Colorado does. And like the chances. I mean, you can put your hand up. That's
you're
fine. Look, I
drop.
Love adversity.
Actually,
like
it.
The chances of Colorado going back to what they used to be. We're going. Gone. Yeah, that's right. There ain't no defense. I am Travis Hunter.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.